So over the next few weeks, we're doing a series on faith, hope, and love. And just get myself set up here. Faith, hope, and love. And the reason that we're doing the series on faith, hope, and love is because there's the beautiful chapter, and it's actually the chapter on love, and we'll look at it a little bit more closely in a couple of weeks' time. But at the end of that great chapter in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 13 says, but these three remain, faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these is love. And what Paul is saying there is that there's stuff that goes on in our life. We can do all sorts of things. We can achieve all sorts of things. We can set our focus and our mind on all sorts of things. But in the end, when it really comes down to it, faith, hope, and love are the three things that actually are really important. That's all it says. These three things remain: faith, hope, and love. And so today we're going to look at faith. Now, of course, faith, hope, and love are intangibles, aren't they? It's very easy to say, oh, well, here's a bag or whatever. It's something that we can see, we can lay our eyes on, we can touch. But faith, hope, and love are not like that. Faith, hope, and love are completely intangible, but they're real. Just because something is intangible doesn't mean that it doesn't exist. It just means that we can't physically see it. And today we're going to look at faith, because I love Hebrews chapter 11. It's a great chapter on faith. And it says in Hebrews 11:1, faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about things that we cannot see. Faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. I've put in brackets here for myself a little note that what we hope for are those things that God has spoken about, like about life and about salvation and about... They're not the, oh, I'm hoping for a $20 pay raise. They're actually... The hope is actually the hope that we have in Christ. So I just want to clarify that now, just in case we get... Because I actually think we can get a bit confused. We talk about the things that we hope for. Yeah, there are promises that God gives us, and we do need to be applying our faith, as Ange said, in Jesus Christ, because he's the one that fulfills those promises, and we should be declaring those promises out and speaking them out. But the hope that we have is not I hope it goes all right. It's a hope that we have in an eternal life because of Jesus Christ. And I want us to get that, and again, we'll talk more about that next week, but I want us to understand that, because it's the confidence that what we hope for, that what Jesus has done for us, will actually happen. I really, really like that. Faith, when I looked up the Greek word, means a conviction of the truth of anything or a belief. In the New Testament, it's a conviction or belief respecting man's relationship to God and to divine things. And it says, generally with the included idea of trust and holy fervor. So it's relating to God. It's the conviction that God exists and is the creator and ruler of all things, the provider and bestower of eternal salvation through Christ. And in relating to Christ, it is a strong and welcome conviction or belief that Jesus is the Messiah through whom we obtain eternal salvation in the kingdom of God. Don't you just love that? That is just amazing. So basically, it's a conviction of the truth of who God is and of who Jesus is, what he has done for us. See, what we see is usually what's immediately in front of us, but faith is about seeing without being able to physically see. I really like that. Hebrews 11:3 says this, by faith we understand that the entire universe was formed at God's command and not by anything that can be seen. The entire universe. So part of our faith, part of what faith is about who God is and what he has done. Isn't that amazing? I love that. Faith is, it's by faith that we understand the entire universe was formed at God's command. Science is beginning to discover that. It's quite amazing, really. So faith is about belief. It's about belief without seeing. See, the writer to Hebrews thought faith was so important that he spent a whole number of, well, we see it as a whole chapter, but he didn't put little chapters and verses in. But he saw that it was so important that he wanted to write quite a few paragraphs on faith so that we could understand what faith was about. And I encourage you to go and read those paragraphs on faith in chapter 11, because it talks about people who exercised faith right throughout history. And it is quite fascinating. John 20, verse 29, Jesus comes to the disciples. And of course, just before that, Thomas hadn't been there. The disciple Thomas hadn't been there. And so Jesus then appeared to Thomas. And he says to Thomas, "You believe because you have seen me. But blessed are those who believe without seeing me." So faith is about believing in what we actually cannot physically see, but it's about believing nonetheless. So faith is important to our existence, to our relationship with God, and to our everyday lives. So the first thing I want to look at is that faith, if we're going to live a life of faith, we need to understand that faith pleases God. Faith pleases God. Hebrews 11:2 says, "Through their faith, the people in the days of old earned a good reputation." It wasn't a good reputation amongst other people necessarily, but it was with God because they had faith. Hebrews 11:6 says, "And it is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him." So it's clear that faith in God is actually really, really important. God is not so much interested, girls, in the good things that we do. He's not. He likes us to do good things, but actually he's not that interested in the good things that we do. What he's interested in is us believing in him and believing in what he's done for us. And that's what's really important. God is interested in us having a conviction of the truth about himself, about who he is, and about his grace and the salvation offered to us. That's what God is interested in. Romans 1:16-17, this is what Paul is writing to the Roman church, and he says, "For I am not ashamed of this good news about Christ. It is the power of God at work, saving everyone who believes, the Jew first and also the Gentile. This good news tells us how God makes us right in his sight. This is accomplished from start to finish by faith. It is through faith that a righteous person has life." I think that we so often get caught up in the idea that we are saved by faith, but somehow the rest of our life just happens, and then at the end it'll be all right. But it actually says from start to finish, right the way through, in everything that we do, it's actually about faith in God. And it's about faith in who God is and what God can do, and it's actually not about what I can do. My life is never about what I can do. Yes, God gives us gifts and talents and he expects us to use them. But in the end, it's actually about faith in who God is and what he can do through me rather than what I can do in and of myself. Because honestly, if I was left to my own devices, I'd probably get it wrong. I stuff up all the time. I, when you read through the Gospels, Jesus was often astounded and amazed at the lack of faith amongst the supposed believers. If you read through the Gospels, it is nearly always the Jewish people who had a lack of faith, and nearly always the Gentile people, the people who the Jews despised, who Jesus says, "You have great faith. Therefore, I'm going to heal you because you have great faith." It was people who were outside of the religious clique, the goody-goodies, the right living people, if you like, where Jesus found faith, not in amongst the ones who would have thought that they had it all together. And I suspect that some of the people were probably pretty upset about the fact that Jesus said, "You don't have great faith." But it was the Canaanite woman and the Roman centurion who had faith, because they were placing their faith in Jesus' ability to heal, not in what they were doing in their religious sacrifices and all those kinds of things. So they didn't rely on rituals. They focused on God's ability, not on ritual. And I think there's a lesson for us. I think sometimes we confuse religious practice with faith. I think we confuse religious practice with faith. There is nothing wrong with religious practice, girls, if it enhances our faith and develops our faith. But I think sometimes we confuse the practice with faith. The practices are there to help us with our faith. See, when we take communion, which is really important, Jesus said to take communion, But we don't take communion for the sake of communion and think that because we're taking communion, it's okay. It's actually the faith in God and in what Jesus has done and that the communion reminds us of. And that's why we take communion. And so I think it's really, really important that we don't get these two things confused. Many religious practices are really, really, really helpful for us. They are really helpful. That's why they were started in the first place, is because they were helpful to our faith. But sometimes we place our faith in the religious practice and not in God. And so we have to be really careful. I think it's really a key. It's never our own strength or our own goodness that we achieve anything. It's only through faith in Christ. It's only through faith in Christ. It's through an absolute trust in Him and through an unswerving belief, because that's what faith is, that He and He alone has the answer to every situation we face. Now, girls, I know that that's not easy to do. I struggle with that all the time because so often what we see in front of us doesn't match up to what we're believing for. And that's why, as Ange said before, our faith can't be in those things. It has to be in the God who is the ruler of the universe and the God who saves us. Because it's only through faith in Christ. He is the one who gives everything to us. And He is the one that we place our faith in. The second thing I want to say about faith, so the first one is that faith pleases God, and we need to have faith to live a life that is pleasing to God. The second one is that faith extends us. Who likes extending and growing and stretching? And we all love it, don't we? We all embrace it. Whenever it happens, we all go, oh, goody, God's stretching me again. Louise is the only honest one here amongst you this morning. She's going, I don't like being stretched. Look, one of the things I have learned is to go with God's stretching and not fight it, because if you fight it, it just takes longer. So just go with it. Just let God stretch you and be done with it. But look, I think if you think, look, faith does extend us. Faith takes us out of what is ordinary and stretches us beyond ordinary into what God has for us. And I think that's why we struggle with it so much, because ordinary is comfortable. Over the last couple of weeks, Adrian has given a couple of really good messages at night time, and I encourage you to get the podcast if you can, because they're fabulous. In fact, Adrian and Mitch were both great on Sunday night, and the week before that, Adrian was fabulous. He talked about extraordinary living for Christ, and it was very, very, very good. But see, we often give poor old Apostle Peter a rough time. And even Jesus said, you know, what happened to your faith? You sank in the waters. But you know what? Peter's faith in who Jesus was encouraged him to step out of the boat and to walk on water. It took him out of what was ordinary and normal for him to be in a boat. He was a fisherman. He was used to being in a boat. That's where he lived most of his life before he started following Jesus. He was a fisherman. He liked boats. He knew how to handle a boat. But it was normal. And whatever he was in that boat, he was only ever doing normal things. But when he stepped out of that boat, he stepped into the extraordinary. He lost track of what God was doing, and he took his eyes off Jesus, and there's all sorts of lessons for us in that. But I just wonder if anybody here has walked on water lately. There's deathly silence there, girls. Fair enough. See, Peter, I'm not expecting, girls, that God actually wants us to walk on water, but my point is that what is your walking on water experience that God wants you to have when you get out of the comfort zone? That you get out of where you are. See, there's faith has to be applied, girls. Here's a chair. I have great faith in this chair. I just want to show you that faith needs to be applied, because I can talk about the theory of this chair. If you notice the shape of this chair, it's got lovely metal legs, so it's actually quite strong. It's got a lovely plastic seat. And if you wanted to go into the chemistry of it all, we could. And we could talk about it for hours, probably. Might bore you to tears. And I believe I can sit on this chair. But if I had to stand beside it and not sit on it, I am not applying faith. Do you think this chair's going to collapse on me? I don't think so, girls, but I was going to check it out. I'm going to apply faith, all right? I was going to sit on the chair. Oh, look, it held me up. But I don't know that until I sit on it. And I can believe it all I like, but until I do it and I apply it, it doesn't do anything. That chair is not going to hold me if I don't sit on it. It actually takes me to apply my faith and sit on that chair to do it. See, Abraham exercised faith when he left Ur and he moved at God's command into the unknown. Now, how would all of us react? How would all of us react? Anna, this is, say God was speaking, Anna, I want you to get up and I want you to go into an unknown country and you'll just have to follow me, but I'm not telling you where that is. Do you think Anna would come? She might if she was nice. For a little while. Do you think she'd do it for 25 years? Honestly, Abraham, God says to Abraham, leave your people. Leave what's comfortable. Leave the land that you've grown up in and follow me. But by the way, I'm not telling you where you're going. God is God. That's why, see, I would do it completely differently. But Abraham exercised faith. Abraham went, sounds like a great idea to me. I think I'll just do that. And I mean, it just blows my mind that there is a man that took his whole family from what was comfortable and went into the unknown, and he didn't know where he was going to end up. That is faith, when you actually apply it and say, I'm going to do it. I'm going to step out. See, Abraham could have stayed in Ur and believed that God had a great future for him. But until he stepped out of Ur and left Ur, it was never going to happen. See, Hebrews 11, 8 to 10 says, it was by faith that Abraham obeyed when God called him to leave home and go to another land that God would give him as his inheritance. He went without knowing where he was going. And even when he reached the land God promised him, he lived there by faith, for he was like a foreigner living in tents. And so did Isaac and Jacob, who inherited the same promise. Abraham was confidently looking forward to a city with eternal foundations, a city designed and built by God. I love that, because what it says is Abraham, the reason Abraham was able to trust God in that was because Abraham understood that his eternal home was with God, and wherever God sent him, he was happy to go with God. And that's what our faith has to be. This is a temporal home here on earth. Our eternal home is in heaven with God. And we have to be able to get up and say, wherever God is going to take me, I will go. For most of us, that doesn't necessarily mean leaving a country, but for many people, it does. And I think one of the things we have to remember is that, I just love it, he says he went without knowing where he was going. I mean, some of us just struggle getting to the supermarket, you know? It's like, he went without knowing where he was going. It's just amazing. He stepped out in faith, girls. He stepped out in faith and he trusted God with his future. It's something that we need to learn, to trust God with our future. Because wherever God takes us, wherever that may be, whatever that looks like, if we're trusting God for our future, then that's okay. Because we can go wherever God goes. See, faith is meant to be exercised. Otherwise, it's just a good idea and it's a good theory, like my chair. I have this great theory that my chair will hold me. But if I don't do anything about it, it's just a theory. See, we don't need masses of faith. We just need to exercise what we have. God says to each is given a measure of faith. And the faith grows when we exercise it. Matthew 17:20 says, if you have faith even as small as a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it would move. Nothing would be impossible. So think about this. Just think about the idea of moving a mountain. Jesus is saying that only a very small amount of faith is needed to change the topography of where you live. The good news, girls, is that Jesus isn't asking us to change the topography of where we live. He's not asking us to chuck Mount Kira into the sea. He's not asking us to flatten out any geographical terrain that we come across. Okay, he's not asking us to do that. And I've been thinking about this. If a tiny little bit of faith can actually change the nature of the land around us, and God actually isn't asking us to do that, we actually don't need much faith to do what God is asking us to do. We actually don't need much faith. We just have to take what we have and exercise it and apply it. I find that quite encouraging, because I know that moving a mountain is not an easy thing. And look, there's all sorts of other kinds of messages we can do on the mountains in our life. But I actually think what Jesus is trying to get across to his disciples is simply, I'm not expecting you guys to move a mountain. Therefore, just use what little bit of faith that you have and apply it. Because if you don't apply it, nothing's going to happen. But if you do apply it, then nothing is impossible for us. Nothing is impossible. And so I want to say, girls, what impossible things do we have in our life that we think needs moving? Because when we apply faith, nothing is impossible. I was going to try and get a mustard seed for today and I ran out of time, but it's so tiny. You wouldn't even see it on the end of my finger. See, God is just asking us to believe in him and what he wants to do, and apply our faith to that and let him do the amazing and the impossible. See, when Peter walked on water, it was because he applied faith. When I was at uni, I had to do 2 streams of maths. And at the risk of boring a few of you who don't like maths and who have already turned off, I had to do what they called straight maths and I had to do applied maths. I actually really liked the straight maths stuff because it was mathematical theory, and for those of you who think I'm completely odd, you will find out I really am. I really loved it. But it was theory. It had very little practical application at all. Very little practical application at all. But it was fabulous for solving all sorts of mathematical problems. But the other subject I had to do was applied maths. And it was very similar to physics. In fact, applied maths is basically a branch of physics. I have to say I probably wasn't quite as good at the applied maths as I was at the other one. However, the idea of applied maths is that its purpose, it's called applied maths for a reason. Because you apply it to the world around you. You apply it to what is going on. You apply it to explain things. But if you don't apply it, it's not going to happen. The same as in physics. You can know the theory of it, but unless you put it into practice, nothing's going to happen. It's quite interesting that if you think about all the theme parks around the world, a whole lot of applied maths and physics has gone into those theme parks to actually make them work. But we wouldn't have all those theme parks if there was no applied maths or physics. We wouldn't even have a building if there wasn't any applied maths or physics put to it. Because applied maths actually looks at, it's an application of mathematics to a situation. An application of maths to a situation. And it's a bit like faith. We have to apply faith to the situation. So whatever I'm just thinking about faith as a theory, it's just a nice idea. But when I'm applying it to a situation, then there are possibilities. And so that's what faith is. It takes us beyond our own abilities. Faith in Jesus Christ takes us beyond what we can do in ourselves and takes us into the seemingly impossible, but into the realm of God possibilities. See, faith extends us. It extends us. And I think the third thing that I want to do, I look at today, is that faith brings blessing. Faith brings blessing. And I just want to go back and read Hebrews 11, verse 6 again. Can I find it here? It's impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him. See, faith brings blessing. God rewards those who sincerely, some of the translations say, earnestly seek him. Faith brings a blessing, but it requires us, as Rachel was actually saying this morning, to seek God. Faith and seeking God cannot be separated, girls. We have to do them both. Faith brings blessing, but it comes to an earnest seeking, and we have to be seeking God, not for the blessing and the selfish reason, but for who God is. And I was quite fascinated because I kind of thought about how applied faith brings results and there's a blessing in that. But when I looked up the word, there's this great word called etymology. It just means where the word came from. So if you hear somebody use the word etymology, that's just what it means. But when you look up this word in Greek, I was fascinated by what it actually meant. Because the reward that it's related to is actually related to paying off a debt. Think of what Jesus Christ did for us. The reward that we have is eternal life through Jesus Christ. That's the reward. And I was looking at it, I was thinking, we want the reward to be a happy life, and we want lots of possessions, and we want all those kinds of things. And God says, no, your reward is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Your reward is that the debt that you owed has been paid. That's the reward, that what we owe has been paid. It's the stuff that has been in our life that has separated us from God has been wiped away through the blood of Jesus Christ. And from that we have a freedom from debt because God paid it for us. That is the reward. And girls, as we step out in faith and as we seek God and as we allow God to extend us, there will be many other blessings along the way. There will be the blessing of friendship and relationship. There will be the blessing of the job well done. There will be the blessing of people coming into the kingdom. There will be financial provision, which is the blessing of God as well. All of those things will come as part of that. But I love this idea of the reward. It's a reward about the debt that we owed being paid. If any of you have ever had a debt that someone else has paid for you, it clears it out of the way. What a weight that lifts off. Well, that's just a physical money debt. What about the debt that we owed God, to have that weight of the world lifted off? What a reward is that? You know, the judgment that was ours has been lifted off. Salvation offered through Jesus Christ. I am just amazed at that, because God's rewards are never about selfish ambition. God's rewards are never about what we can get out of it for ourselves. They're never about us having an easy life. God's blessing and his reward is always, as we seek him, the idea of salvation through Jesus Christ. And I just love that idea. I was really amazed when I looked it up, because I was expecting it to be something, to be honest, I guess, and as part of our society, we think of reward as something that we get, so something that's for us, a financial provision of some kind. But what this reward was about the salvation and an eternal life through Jesus Christ. And I love that idea, that that's what faith produces, eternal life. So as we conclude, this implicit trust and belief in God is what faith is about. And that faith is what pleases God. It is that faith that extends us beyond the ordinary into a life of amazing possibilities. And there is an eternal reward. There is an eternal reward, as well as the reward of a life here with Christ and of his purposes achieved. That's what the reward is about, his purposes achieved. And the more I look at this, the more I realize just how much God's life is about his purposes and his kingdom. Because God is all about other people. God is all about us caring for one another and loving one another and placing our faith and our hope in him. It's never... He does that for us because he loves us, but he wants us to extend beyond that. He wants us to go past us what is for us and make life different and better for other people. And that's why we have faith. It's the faith in God that pleases him, not what we do. Not what we do. He wants us to do good stuff, but that's not what pleases him in the end. It's our faith that causes us to do the good things that pleases God. It's faith that pleases God and amazes God when we step out in faith and do stuff. He just says, go, and we go. He says, jump, and we jump. And we just trust him. I ever used to watch Bugs Bunny. In some of those Bugs Bunny, there was always was it Elmer Fudd or whatever, was always after Bugs Bunny. And somehow, I'm not sure how the rabbit got up the tree, but Bugs Bunny would always get up a tree and go right out on a limb. And then the branch would be cut off and the limb would stay in the air and the tree would fall down. Sort of so opposite what you would expect to happen. That's faith. You go out on the limb and the limb stays up and everything else falls away. And I actually really like that idea of extending beyond what seems possible to the impossible. That's faith. And it brings a blessing. Why don't we stand and let's determine in our hearts, if that's where you're at this morning, let's determine in your heart that you want to live a life of faith in Jesus Christ. And maybe you're here this morning, maybe you've never made that step into faith in Jesus Christ. Or maybe you've made that step and you just want to say, hey, I've let that slip a little bit. I want to come back into my relationship with God. Then let's just take a few moments right now just to quietly place our faith and our hope and our trust in Jesus. It's really simple. Just quietly pray, Lord, I just want to live your way. I ask, Lord Jesus, that you would come into my life. I pray that you would help me to live my life for you. And if we just pray that quietly, I'm just going to give you a few moments to pray. Father, we stand before you as women who want to live our lives for you. Father, I ask that you would help us to step out in faith. I thank you, Father, that your Son died. That your Son died for our sins, and that the reward we have is eternal life through Jesus Christ. I thank you, Father, that you enable us to live this life of faith, and that as we step out and do what you've called us to do,